Well, what a privilege it is for all of us to be able to gather together today and to join one another in worship and praise to the Almighty God. Again, we are very delighted to have all of you here in attendance with us this morning, and hope that you've all enjoyed your weekend and your holiday period together. I don't know that we are going to complete all of this lesson today. I don't plan to hold you too terribly along, and it may be that at the time of our ending, we will not have completed what we wanted to talk about fully. If that is the case, however, we will complete it this evening. So hang on to your outlines for tonight, and we'll take a look at some of those things a little bit closer together this evening. I do want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And we're going to consider this idea of effective evangelism as we see demonstrated through Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to present a lot of different things that you have not heard before, but hopefully it will sharpen our minds and our focus and our thoughts to be able to do the things that God wants us to do as we live here on this earth. So I want to begin reading in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And here it says, "Soon afterward he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Now, I want us to take a look at this together today, because I think that we're going to be able to find that Jesus demonstrates three things that will help us in effective evangelism. Number one, we've got this. The first thing is that Jesus went. He went through all of the cities and he went through the villages proclaiming what? The good news of the kingdom of God. What I want us to appreciate today is this. Jesus did not live an isolated, insulated, inactive life. He lived a life in which he was out there in the public and he was doing those things that he knew God had called him to do. Now, by going as he did, he demonstrated the importance of his mission. He showed that he cared about the people, that there was something that he had worth sharing, and it was important that they get this, that they understand this, that they had the words of eternal life living there among them, and they needed those words. And so Jesus, he is going to those people. Now, when we look at a couple of passages of Scripture, I want to go first of all to Acts chapter 10, verses 20 and 23. Then we'll backtrack to Matthew chapter 28. In Acts chapter 10, here we've got the story of Peter. And you know that Peter has been in a trance, and we won't go through all of the story there, but there are some men that have come to him on behalf of Cornelius. And in verse 20 of Acts chapter 10, here, God tells Peter, "I want you to go down, for these men have been sent to you, and I want you to go with them." Verse 23, it says, "And on the next day, he went with those men." And so he was going. He was to share and proclaim that gospel message that they needed to hear. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment as we think about this proclamation. But he went. He went. Now, we go back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, we have said, and you have heard this before, and I'm not breaking out some new information to you, that this "go" in the passage of Scripture really means "as you go." Now, it's important for us to go to a destination. If somebody says, "I want you to go to Haiti," just like in the case with Peter. Here, God wanted Peter to go to the household of Cornelius. "I want you to go there." It's important to go there. But I think that it's important for us also to understand that we're supposed to be living the Christian lives as we go. Today in Bible class, we were talking about with the 6th through 8th graders, using every opportunity. Our text was found in Acts chapter 16, where Paul has come to Philippi, that major city or that chief city of Macedonia. And we read in Acts chapter 16 three occasions where Paul had the opportunity to present Jesus Christ. The first was when he went outside the city to a place where people normally went to pray by the river. And he came in contact with some women that were praying. Among those was Lydia, who became one of the first fruits of the church there in Philippi. And she begged them to stay with her. But she went home and brought them with her. And when they went with her home, they were able to expound the good news of Jesus Christ to her and all her household. And they were baptized. As he was going, you find that a little bit later on in that passage of Scripture, they're walking down the street and they're going to prayer again, and you've got this young slave girl who is following behind them, and she's been making money for her owner through fortune telling, and she continues to annoy Paul and Silas because she's shouting that they are servants of the Most High God and they are bringing them the words of salvation. And finally Paul turns around and he heals her of that, and that demon comes out, and her masters are aggravated and angry and pull Paul and Silas before the magistrates. And then the people strip them and beat them with rods. And you know the story. But here was another example as he's walking down the street to show the power of God and influence people with that. While he's in prison there, they're singing and they're praising God. And so, even though they're having all of this adversity and all of these difficulties and these problems, they are wanting to do their very best to influence people for what is right. And eventually, you know what happens at midnight with the earthquake and how that the prison doors are open and the shackles are released. And thinking that all of the people had escaped, the jailer drew his sword to kill himself. Of course, Paul tells him to put his sword up. Don't do himself any harm. We're all here. The man comes in. What must I do to be saved? Paul takes that opportunity, proclaims the message of Jesus to this man and his household, and they're converted. As they were going, I'd like for you right now to make a mental note of everything that you've got to do tomorrow. Maybe you've got to go to work. Maybe after work, you've got to run to the bank. Maybe after that, you're going to go out to eat. Maybe you're going to go to eat for lunch at your company or at your business. Maybe after that, you have another errand to run and you have to go to a store. Maybe you're going home to have supper with the family, maybe to spend some time with them. Maybe you've got a practice of some type tomorrow evening or even a ball game. I want you to make a list of the things that you have to do tomorrow. And I want to try to change our way of thinking a little bit. You know, I think that all of us get caught up in this. I know I do. So, listen, when I talk about this, don't think that I'm keeping myself out of this. I think that those things become the primary things that we focus on that we have to do during the course of the day. And you know what the primary thing that we have to do as Christians every single day? Fulfill the mission that Christ has given us to fulfill. That is our primary responsibility. That is number one. And everything else that we have to do during the course of the day should be secondary. That's what I think about when I think about the Apostle Paul here in Philippi. You know, I'm going to this place, pray. You know what? It's under the umbrella of doing Christ's mission. Everything for Christians should be about that. That's what Jesus was doing. It says that He went to the cities and the villages, and He was what? He was proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what His mission was. That's what He was doing. That was the purpose, His primary purpose in living on this earth. And you know, as Christians, that should be our primary purpose. My primary purpose tomorrow is not to get up and go to work. My primary purpose tomorrow is not to run to the bank. My primary purpose tomorrow is not to run by the hospital. My primary purpose tomorrow is to do something to help share the good news of the kingdom of God with people. And secondarily, these other things. And if we'll start thinking like that, then maybe we'll start thinking about every opportunity that we have to reach people with the gospel. But we make our list, don't we? And we've got our calendar. And we all do it. And you know what? Every Monday morning when I come into the office, you know what I sit down and do? I take out my little bitty yellow legal pad and I start writing down notes of all the things that I've got to accomplish this week and the things that I need to do. You know what? That becomes my focus, right? And you know what I like about it? I can go back to my little legal pad and I say, whoop, got that one done. I love it when I see a lot of scratches on that paper. Makes me feel like I've done something. And that's hard when you only work 3 hours a week to get all of those things done like that. I mean, really. But you scratch off that paper and you feel like you've got, and that becomes your priority, and you think about, oh, I got to get this done, I got to get this. And you know what? I think we just lose sight of the fact that the number one priority we have in this life is to be some type of an influence for Jesus. And I hope that we'll get to that point. But that's what Jesus was doing. As He went through all the cities and through all the villages, He understood what His purpose was. And that's our purpose as well. And so as we're going, if we want to be effective in evangelism, we need to think about these opportunities that we have to be an influence for Christ and to fulfill the mission that He has for us. I'm reminded of a young man. His name is John Allen Chaw. I think I'm saying that right. Or Chow. It's C-H-A-W. Maybe some of you read about this guy. A few weeks ago, I think probably in late October or the first part of November, this 26-year-old American missionary from Washington State went to the Andaman Islands in the Bay of Bengal. Now, this is a remote area, and there's a lot of tribal people there. In fact, they actually warn that you probably shouldn't go there because these are primitive people, and they generally shoot folks that show up at their island with arrows. That's the method of, you better stop. Fishermen don't go there. They will fish outside of the island, but they won't get on the island because they know of the primitive people there and their customs. But this young man, he was 26, had a desire to try to take the gospel message to them. I want you to listen to what he had to say here. He said, "You guys might think I'm crazy in all this, but I think it's worthwhile to declare Jesus to these people." And so he showed up on the island. He came off of the boat and he said, "Hi, my name is John. I love you. Jesus loves you." And then he was shot with arrows. That's right. He asked the question, why does this place have to have so much death? I hope that this isn't one of my last notes. But if it is, to God be the glory. Now, I'm not suggesting that you unwisely go into some territory where you know that 99% certain you're going to die. But let me tell you something. I appreciate this guy. It may have meant death for him, and it did. He died, but he died trying to do what? Trying to share Jesus Christ with people who had never heard of Him. I don't know about you. I do understand that this young man was not part of our fellowship, but he had a zeal to want to share something about Jesus with us. You know what? We got the truth. And we have a commitment to want to share that truth with the people that we come in contact with every single day. Effective evangelism is as you go. And so Jesus went through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. He went. Are we ready to go? You know, I want to keep going, but I know that if I keep going, that we're just going to run way over. So we're going to call an end to it, and we're going to stop right there. I got two more thoughts for you about this, and I really hope that you'll come back and hear the rest of this, because this is a lesson from Jesus about effective evangelism. And folks, that is our job as Christians, to help to evangelize this world. And so I hope you'll take this seriously, and I hope that you'll think it's worthwhile to come back and hear the last two parts of the lesson that we're going to deal with this evening. But maybe it's the case that you've not been going. Maybe sharing the good news of Jesus Christ has become secondary, or maybe it's fallen even further down the list from what it should be when it comes to your life and your mission and what you think about and what you do each day. I hope that if that's the case, you'll make a change today. I hope that you'll have a different thought process, that you'll realize that this is so important. And as a Christian, it is your responsibility to do that. So if you need to respond to the invitation this morning and you need to make that right with God and say, you know what, I need to change my way of thinking and I need to change my heart, then we want to pray with you and pray for you and want you to be praying for us that we'll have the right kind of heart and the right kind of focus and attitude about sharing the message of Jesus with other people. So if you need to respond, we're here to help you. And if you're not a Christian and you want to become one, there is no more precious message than the message that Jesus came to die for you so that you might live with Him. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian and you need to become one, we want to invite you to respond, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, being baptized to wash away those sins. So today, if you have a need, won't you come while we stand and sing?